You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Now it's time to hear from the Green Party's Ricardo Menendez March.
As a part of their energy policy, the current National-led government has reopened the door to offshore oil and gas exploration and mining after it was banned under the previous government. Last week, we saw reports of the first bid under the scheme, a sign of further oil and gas projects. Alongside this, the government has put through legislation increasing the maximum amount energy companies can be fined by 3 times, they say, to increase accountability. Finally, rumours swirl that the central government is about to step in to override the rezoning plan crafted by the Auckland Council once again, as groups protest the plan enabling high-rise buildings around transport hubs. For this week's weekly catch-up with the Green Party, I spoke to MP Ricardo Menendez March about the expansion of fines on energy companies and the central government's intervention in Auckland Council zoning plans. But first, we discussed the first bid in offshore oil and gas. All right, I want to start us off by talking about the first bid in National's offshore oil and gas deregulation or enabling. I want to hear your first thoughts on this. What does it bring up for you?
So the Green Party has long been opposed to the government's move to bring more fossil fuel companies to ransack our natural environment, when we know that we could be instead investing in renewable energy that will actually deliver cheaper energy prices and more energy security for people in Aotearoa. The reality is that oil and gas companies have been long unable to actually find any oil to drill offshore for many, many years. And it takes more than a decade between exploration and operationalizing those findings, if there are any. It's also really telling that the Australian company coming here, it's effectively Kiwi washing itself and giving itself a New Zealand name as to pretend that they have anything to do with our local communities. And that's just incredibly telling from a huge oil giant that is only seeking to make profits from our resources.
Within Australia at the moment, there is large criticisms of their mining industry and their resource industry for not paying their fair share in taxes. Do you feel like this could also be a component with this project if it goes forward?
The Green Party, when it comes to mining, the Green Party has long called for an increase in the mining royalties so that mining companies who make humongous profits off taking resources from the lands that they do work in actually pay their fair share. And so the Greens have long called for an increase in mining royalties here, but more than anything, an investment in the types of energy industries that actually will deliver cheaper energy prices for people and also for solutions to, for example, break up the gentailers. And we've supported the calls to bring them back into public ownership so that they are mandated to work for the public good as opposed to just to make profits.
With the growth of the fossil fuel industry through this project, the National Party has said they look at it through expanding our energy security. With the need to have a fuel that is usable at point, moment to moment, when energy demand increases, what is the green solution to that problem?
Yeah, so first of all, I just want to call out the National Party's rhetoric when it comes to oil and gas. Again, we know that it takes over a decade between exploration and if they do find any oil, for them to be able to actually start extracting it and delivering it to communities. And so I think none of this will actually deliver cheaper prices for Kiwis in the near future. What we can do and what the Greens have long pushed for is for greater investment in renewable energy, as well as electrifying our transport fleet. So that includes our trains, our buses, and our vehicle fleet, so that we're less reliant on fossil fuels, which also make our economy more resilient when there are geopolitical conflicts that drive up the prices of oil. And so this is why we've put out alternatives to what the government is proposing that will make life cheaper for people, but also give us more economic security and certainty in these volatile geopolitical times.
Could you illustrate some of those alternatives that the Green Party has outlined for us?
So beyond electrifying the public transport fleet and our vehicle fleet, it also includes greater investment into solarising our schools, our public buildings like hospitals, marae, and making sure that we break up the gentailers and explore bringing them into public ownership as well, so that they are mandated to actually serve the public good as opposed to continuing to make humongous profits at a time of a cost of living crisis.
I'd like to move on now to the tougher fines that power companies may now pay under legislation and rules established by this government. The timbre of this legislation seems to be very in line with the Green Party's ideals of reining in power companies or companies that might hurt the bottom line for Kiwis. How do you feel about this? What's your first thoughts?
We do support the government's legislation to bring greater accountability for energy companies. I think so. What we need beyond legislation to increase these fines is to actually look at the systemic solutions that need to be put in place. These fines cannot be a replacement to breaking up the gentailers and also look at public ownership of these industries. The reason for that is that even if they do act in their best behavior, the reality is that some of these gentailers continue to make, as I've mentioned earlier, huge profits at a time where everyday people are having to make sacrifices when it comes to, for example, what they can turn on during winter to make sure that they can keep their home warm and safe and their kids' health at paramount. And this is why, while we support the fines, we need to make sure that we explore all these other solutions that will put people above profit and not just hope that the market behaves and that they won't be acting in uncompetitive or ways that diminish the well-being of everyday people just because there will be some fines. Corporates can definitely pay fines, and fines have rarely been actually a real solution to greedy behavior by corporations.
Do you think there could have been an enlargement of the fines that would have ever made it effective?
I mean, I think the fines always need to be in line with the profits that companies are making, and those should be adjusted to make sure that they reflect a genuine, real punishment on corporations that are acting outside of the best interest of everyday people. But I do think fines are not the tool that we should be relying on to ensure that Kiwis can have access to affordable and reliant energy sources. Because at the end of the day, if you put something like energy that is so critical to the functioning of everyday lives in the hands of the private sector that will put profit over the well-being of people and the environment, you'll always have outcomes that put profit over other considerations, such as ensuring that people can have cheap, clean energy. And this is why, while we support the fines, as I've said earlier, we need to be investing and supporting more systemic solutions, which is quite the opposite of what the government has been doing when it comes to prioritizing coal mining and fossil fuel drilling as opposed to investment in renewables and breaking up the gentailers.
What would your current preferred solution be right now?
As I've said earlier, in terms of the gentailers and energy companies, we'll be breaking them up and exploring bringing them back into public ownership. But critically, what we also need is investment in renewable energy, including solarizing our buildings so that people can have access to secure, cheap energy across the country. And I think we need a range of solutions. There's no silver bullet, and I think the government should be careful to pretend that these fines will actually deliver the changes that people need right now at a time where people are having to make sacrifices to keep their homes warm during winter.
All right, I want to move on now to Auckland housing rezoning. There's been a furore around the central government reconsidering plans that were drawn up by Auckland Council. Given that this is about housing policy, warehouses can be built, and the current plans drawn up by Auckland Council were made to make best use of public transport investments, how does the Green Party respond to this?
I think it's quite topical. We're talking about this while we're having weather alerts and the risk of flooding, including in our largest city, because effectively what the council was trying to do was to work with the government's housing agenda and to put in place a plan that would have delivered countless of housing to be able to address our housing shortage, but also address the fact that right now in cities like Auckland, we are continuing to build in areas that flood often. And Plan 120 would have given the central and local government the flexibility to ensure that we build more homes to ensure that people can have housing, while at the same time recognizing that there will be areas where we need to literally have less housing because it's in floodplains, which then will mean we'll have to build greater density in areas where there is public transport and other amenities, which is what most modern cities that have far more livable conditions and way less traffic actually prioritize, which is greater density in areas where you do already have the transport infrastructure, the schools, the hospitals, et cetera. And this is, I think, the future we should have been heading in as opposed to caving in to a property investment lobby that seems quite happy to just have us continuing to expand and grow while consuming land that is, A, really good for growing food or, for example, damaging our natural environment. We could be growing upwards as opposed to horizontally.
Between the first plan that was released under the Jacinda Ardern government in agreement with the National Party, the medium density residential standards, which would have allowed four stories across much of Auckland, against Plan 120, which was the Auckland Council's response to that, which enabled much higher rise density, but only around areas of transport hubs. What was your preference?
I think Plan 120, while not perfect, recognized the need to build greater density in areas near public transport hubs because it also acknowledged that there will be areas in our city that will literally see lower density and less housing because right now we have built too many homes in areas that are floodplains. And we saw the result of that in the 2023 floods in Auckland. And I say this as somebody who was flooded himself and effectively has quite a few of my neighbors now vacating their homes as a result of it, that in order for Auckland to be a livable city where we live alongside the natural environment and people can have access to decent housing, we have to prioritize greater density in public transport hubs and recognize that there will be some areas that will have less housing so that we can have floodplains doing what they're supposed to do, which is to soak up the water when we have a big storm so that other homes don't flood as a result of us putting concrete where streams originally were meant to be.
And finally, before we leave you today, I want to ask about the appropriateness of the government stepping in on plan changes made by Auckland Council around zoning.
It's a betrayal to the future of Auckland. It caves into a group of lobbyists who seem far more interested in being able to own multiple homes without recognizing that greater density does deliver cheaper housing. It delivers actually a greater sense of community, and it also creates cities that are placed closest to amenities like schools, hospitals and public transport hubs. If you travel to most modern cities across the world, cities that have good ratings when it comes to livability, like you'll see that density has been a critical component to it, as well as investment in public infrastructure, which is exactly the opposite of where this government is heading.
That was the Green Party's Ricardo Menendez-March on the restarting of offshore oil and gas, fines for energy companies, and the government's intervention in Auckland Council's zoning plans.
That was the Green Party's Ricardo Menendez March.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.